Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here we are with another edition of what Jeff Carlin calls Castle of Thrones. Marwa Altaguri, Will Lee from the Chicago Tribune, Jeff Carlin from WGN, me, your humble servant, John Cass, and I've got a question and a statement about the Game of Thrones. For years, I'd see people talk about TV shows. You know, like Friends. Oh, Friends, it's going to end. Or whatever the one where they were lost and it turned out they were in purgatory.
Lost.
And all this. And people were talking about this stuff. Or, you know, other ones. Mary Tyler, back before you were born. Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, what are we going to do without Mary Tyler Moore? Oh, we're so sad. And I'd look at them and I'd think, oh, you stupid people. You're flaunting not only your illiteracy, the fact that you're thick-witted, you're talking about TV shows. Here I am, enthralled with a TV show. I'm one of these people. Help me out.
One of the thick-headed people?
Yeah, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, now that the Game of Thrones is over, we have to go back to that so-called life of ours. Yeah. What is that?
Nothing is as good as a sweet... without the Game of Thrones there, the intrigue, everything about it. This is the moment we've all been waiting for all this time. And we've only been left with 7 episodes and then left on the ground, you know.
So. And 6 to come, Mara. What do we do? Help John out with a column since we're taping this in the afternoon. What do we do with our so-called lives without Game of Thrones? What are you guys going to do?
Well, like Will, we rewatched the episode 5 times.
Yes.
But the thing is you can only rewatch the whole series so many times.
And that's quite a commitment.
Yeah. You can try other TV shows, but is there anything really that compares?
No.
No.
Nothing.
You can write fan fiction.
There you go. John.
John, you should write a series of Game of Thrones fan fiction columns.
With? Yes. You mean like series and so forth?
And then instead of it taking place in like Westeros and being, you know, there, it could take place in Chicago. You've already got some of your characters. You've got Littlefinger.
Jeff Carlin, Chicago. Okay, think of this. You've got a town, a city, a major city like King's Landing, mm-hmm. ruled by one family and others.
Associated families, yeah.
In an iron grip, you have different guilds that really don't have much say, but some. And you have stagnation in terms of technologies and so forth. Are, 10,000 years it's been since the Andals discovered steel?
Sure.
In Westeros, right? And they still haven't developed technology. Here, we're a little bit farther along. You know, we have technology, mm-hmm. but outside of that, I think the parallels are...
You've got your Night King in Madaganistan. You've got Littlefinger. We got them all.
Right, so what are we going to have? What are we supposed to do for the next 2 bleeping years, Jeff Carlin?
read a lot of fan fiction. I think Mara hit on the head, because that's what I've been doing this whole week, is not fan fiction, but theories and mm-hmm. conjurings and trying to... And explaining it to my mom. My mom calls me a lot and asks me what's going on. And she has like all these theories. And she was convinced that Jon Snow was the son of Daenerys. And she was totally confused about the whole situation.
So because that's true incest.
Right.
Right?
Right. Fictional.
It's like southern or northern, north of our border.
It's Oedipus, right? That's what that is?
Yes, of course, right?
Yep.
Can I inject something, one thing that I think is very important, and I know Marwa feels the same way I feel about this. Just from the last episode, just for the very first time, confirmation about... You know, Jon Snow's lineage. This, you know, for people who read the books, is a huge deal. This has never been everything about the books. I know, John, you read the books. Everything is
I'm in
it's
the
mystery.
Fifth book now.
Right. Everything is mystery. You never know who is related to water, any of this
right.
stuff. And the fact that this reveal happened on the very last episode is, I think, the, you know, 13 years people have been wanting to know about this, you know, and now here they have the confirmation.
More than that, since like the 1990s, right? Really?
Right.
I mean, this is just, this is monumental. We know John's heritage. The wall came down.
Yeah.
All of this stuff that's just, I mean, just the fact that all these characters were in the same space together.
Yes.
The first ever incest montage, probably, in modern television.
And not only that, his brother looking at every bit of it, you know? Bran.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple things now. Let's talk about the last episode in this way. Bran finally shows up. And acts like a damn Stark again and tells his sisters what's going on. But apparently, scenes were cut out that I didn't get to see.
Uh-oh.
It's true. That was a big part. My one downside to this entire episode, and it was great, it was a glorious episode, was the fact that, you know, Game of Thrones shows you everything, every interaction. The idea that they did not, you know, show Bran speaking with Sansa, explaining all of this, or him even talking to Arya and explaining to him all the things that Sansa had gone through. It's infuriating.
Or them not explaining it to each other.
What, like?
Why does
like,
Bran have to tell Sansa and Arya what they've been through? Why can't they just talk to each other?
Like sisters? Right. You mean like, didn't Sophie Turner was discussing this, I think, on some clip I've seen now that I'm totally nerdgastic about it. And I go and watch what the actors and actresses, because I don't know what they know, right? They're just vehicles for the writers. But she was saying something about the sisters should have sat down and talked and what happened and, you know, do that whole sisterly thing maybe with what, I don't know, a cup of cocoa.
I agree, only because it's these, you have to keep in mind, these are sisters who have not seen each other in years. Most of their family is dead. They only have each other. Marla, we've always talked about this. The weakest part of this whole entire season was the kind of pitting them against each other. And I, you know, hopefully this will be as resolved as quickly as the Dorne storyline was resolved. Never will have this sort of competition between them again.
I think it's interesting, too. And we talked about this just last week in the podcast here. And then some of it might have hit the cutting room floor for time. But we talked about the idea of like these benchmarks that Martin had put out there and said, hey, this is going to happen, that should happen, try to, you know, hit these things, and then they're compressing this timeline to make it work for the series. So they kind of, the writing, as Mara said, isn't the best at some times. I think it's interesting because that Baelish had to die. We knew, like, obviously this was going to be something foretold, and they had to figure out a way to get there. And I think, again, it just falls into compressed writing, so they don't have the novelty to figure out that they do have a conversation or they go off and do something. And I think it just comes down to that, which is disappointing because obviously there's a lot that could have happened there before they came together and realized that they need to be a team. So I think it's interesting, but I think it is the most disappointing part about this.
Does Marwa agree?
You know, I felt so bamboozled by all this. I mean, you guys know how critical I was of this whole Arya and Sansa thing, but I think if you look at this from the perspective of them being in on this together from the beginning, then it makes sense. So in season three, I think it was, I was recently watching an episode in season three with a friend of mine who was watching it for the first time. I'm glad that I saw this episode, but it was an episode where Littlefinger told Sansa that she has to always act like there's always someone listening to all her conversations. And I was like, well, what if that's what she was doing? What if Sansa and Arya were just acting like Littlefinger was listening to all of their conversations the whole time and just didn't tell the audience that was what was going on because they wanted to fool us, and they did very well.
They fooled you.
Yeah.
You're so dumb. You're ripping on it. Oh, I hate this whole thing. This is like Dorne. It's so boring. It's sad. And then what happened?
Yeah. So some people think that it was only after Arya played this game of faces with Sansa and she flipped the dagger and gave it to her that they started plotting against Littlefinger. I think it's more believable if you think that they've been plotting against Littlefinger since their reunion. But I don't know. It's kind of like the Dorne plot. It wasn't great at least Littlefinger died and it's over. I loved the way Littlefinger died.
Good about that death?
Peter Baelish's acting, that smug look he had on his face when Arya walked into the room, and then when Sansa turns and goes, Lord Baelish, and it's just, oh my gosh, it was
and
fantastic.
Then the best line of that whole scene was, I think, was, my sister asked you a question, like, your time is up.
or Jon Royce being like, I think not.
Oh, that was such a sweet moment, too, the whole idea. He's like, you know, he says, hey, I can defend myself, right? And as soon as he says, sure, you can defend yourself, he runs back. I demand you take me back to the Vale for secrecy. It is not the way a character like Littlefinger should have ended, but it's absolutely the way he should have ended.
There was a lot of people I know who are like, oh my God, like, I'm glad he died, and it was very, you know, felt great and gratifying, but at the same time, he's caused all the problems in Westeros. All of them are really
his
conniving has led to everything bad that's happened in at least the last generation of sort, and he just dies with a knife across
the neck.
There's
a word we have for these people in the old country. The worst thing you could say besides Ephialtes, which is the Spartan that betrayed the Spartans and led King Xerxes around to destroy them, is a name no one names their children. The other is Rufiano, and maybe Roman, you know, maybe a little bit Italian or Italian influence. A Rufiano is someone who runs around and tells stories, a gossip, a whisperer, right? Littlefinger. His acting, nonverbal, that tiny little sigh that he gave up when he was on his knees, that little, was just perfect.
You stand accused of murder. You stand accused of treason. How do you answer these charges? Lord Baelish.
My sister asked you a question.
Lady Sansa, forgive me. I'm a bit confused.
It actually feels so nice to live in a spoil-free world now. Like, I can go on Reddit and not have to worry about, like, getting the finale ruined for me.
I can search for actors to see what they're doing next and not have to worry about some spoiler. Which, speaking of which, the actor who plays Baelish is going to be in a James Joyce series.
Whoa.
Profiling his life.
What,
yeah,
the Dubliners?
Well, it's based on Dubliners, but it's more James Joyce's life and his love life while he was writing Dubliners. And he'll be playing James Joyce.
And I recommend for anybody who likes prison fiction to watch the movie that's on cable now, Nicholas Castelwaldo.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? He plays a good man who makes a mistake and ends up in prison, you know, and basically has to deal with his life in prison.
Did he become a hate group, member of a hate group?
I don't know what that means anymore, because hate is so subjective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right? Do you like the person? If you don't like him, then you probably
I don't know if I want to call it hate group. I would call it hate group outside of the world of the movie. But in the movie, it is reality of what you have to do. So I highly recommend that. Who else is in movies or coming out? How about Amelia Clark? Is she pregnant? Because that's what we have to get to.
Yes, this is it.
All right. Is she?
I don't know. She's got to be.
Yes. I think so.
Is she pregnant in the real world? No. Yeah. But in Game of Thrones world, is Daenerys Targaryen carrying the seed of what's his name?
Aegon Targaryen.
Aegon Targaryen.
What, fourth of his name? How many Aegons have there been?
The true king of Westeros.
I think she has to be.
What happens between these
two? I really hope she's not, but I think she will be.
Well, they have to, because the way they set it up, right, where she said, I cannot have children. Dragons are my children. And who told you this, he says? And she says, the witch who killed my husband. And then he said something like, idiotically, I thought, that was bad writing. That was probably not the best source of credible information. It sounded like a man coming from the medieval times to, you know, modern times.
True.
Right?
I noticed that as well, John, right? As a matter of fact.
It just sounded very like political talk show line. But you think she's pregnant? I do, too. And then what happens between them?
I don't know. I mean, I think it dooms their relationship. I mean, I know the Targaryens are known for marrying within the family, but I just
to keep the
don't.
Blood pure?
Yeah, I just don't think Jon Snow will be on board with that. I mean, Jon, at the end of the day, is a Stark.
And what are the Starks?
He had that conversation. I remember, like, oh, well, you know, you're all, even with Theon, like, oh, you're a Stark. I mean, there's part of you is Stark, part of you is not. And
what does that mean in this context, guys?
I think it means he's got to. I think they may hide this because who knows this information is
Bran. He says my brother has to know.
Yeah, right. But then the family can know and the family can keep it as a secret. I think. I don't know.
I think Jon will find out. I think Jon is going to make the cognizant decision. Well, there's two situations. If Daenerys isn't pregnant, then Jon's going to do the Ned Stark thing, which is say, you know, I already bent the knee to you. I'm not going to try to take the throne from you, even though I have the better claim. And I'm going to end this relationship with you, and you will just be my queen.
Aww.
If she is pregnant, then I think it's kind of Jon is doomed in a sense because he's the one who just had to deal with being a bastard his whole life, and he's not going to be okay with bringing a child into this world that's the product of incest that could have some sort of that
issues
and that type of thing. And I think that's going to be something that just ends up haunting him.
Also, if he does the honest, noble thing, because that's what the Starks are known for, is their honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are to the, in the north, what like sort of the Scots are, right? In that sort of, in a cliche, not to diminish the Scots in any way, but you did betray your rightful king in your own history. So he comes off as Mr. Moral, right? Moral.
Mm-hmm.
And how can he, if she is with child, how can he not marry her, Will?
I think that's going to be, sorry, I didn't want to step on Will, but I think that's important, but I don't think that's something we're going
to
even, my theory.
It
is how
to
this,
be resolved.
Well, it will, but I'm assuming this is going to be end of the season resolve because there's an army of dead coming towards Winterfell and they don't have time to get into the baby make. I mean, if they make a baby, it's going to be a while anyway and it'll be months before.
Maybe that's the whole thing. They keep jumping ahead. You know, we don't know.
If they do get married, though, she's not. Is he going to be the guy, the dad, in the yogurt commercial, like the one who stays home and makes the lunch?
I doubt it.
Or is he going to, you know, the one that's in the
Froyo,
where the daddy's playing with the kids and mommy's working? I don't know. I think he'll be king.
It's difficult.
No?
Just the thing, John, I think it's very difficult. I think Jon Snow, first of all, is going to have a very difficult time coming to terms with this because a big part of his personality, a bit of his being, is being the bastard of Winterfell. And the idea that he is now, you know, this higher up, you know, and, you know, Daenerys may have a child, it'll be everything crashing in on him at exactly the worst time.
Another thing I got to ask Marwa. Marwa, do you think that Tyrion, who used to be smart, will become smart again? Can he take some smart pills or whatever these things
well,
may
I'll
be?
I'll challenge
because
you.
Because his sister is ripping him off.
Okay. I want to talk about what I thought was the most enticing part of this whole episode was that look on Tyrion's face when Jon entered Daenerys' chambers.
Whoa, little
what thing. Did the look
him watching.
Mean? I'm in the camp that thinks that so there's two camps. Some people think that Tyrion might be in love with Daenerys and there have been kind of like hints of that throughout the last few seasons if you look for them. And some people think that he just knows that they've doomed their cause by getting together.
How so?
I think probably just in terms of, you know, these are two great leaders and now they have a flaw. They care about each other. They're going to go out of their way to protect each other. You know, when Daenerys got onto Drogon to go rescue Jon from north of the wall, Tyrion tried to stop her because he didn't want her to endanger herself. And they're just going to keep doing that back and forth if they're in love with each other.
I love you. I love you. I got to save you. I got to save you. What about the Tyrion is really there, her, a Targaryen?
I think that theory is dead, and I'm so mad about it.
And I think you keep saying he's dumb. Or you said he's dumb.
I'm saying he allowed himself to. He's a smart. He's probably the smartest character next to his father in the show, mm-hmm. right? Cersei pretends to be smart. She's kind of like a person who acts smart who's not.
So there's a theory out there that Tyrion has essentially betrayed. You know they had this heated conversation with his sister, and all of a sudden she just turns and is like, "Oh yeah." Okay, we'll go north, and he was like, "Oh, excellent, it worked." I don't think so. We didn't see that, and then as we've seen so far this past season, very important things have happened off camera, and I think if he knows that there's another Lannister, and his Lannister family is essentially doomed because he's not going to have any children, and now that he knows his sister is pregnant, and he's going to let that roll, he's going to protect his family because we've seen little hints of this all along that he's sad about his family members dying and his clan coming to an end, essentially. I think for the greater good of his family, he may have betrayed.
Just to look at our faces, Marwa and Will are frowning, and I'm kind of frowning.
Sean making the bits scowling at me.
Yeah,
Jeff
I don't like this.
Jeff did make a wonderful quiche for us. Which
but
is
he
great
did
tasty,
make great quiche. That's
it.
True.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if that's true, then why did Tyrion attack Casterly Rock?
Because he hadn't changed his mind yet, and he didn't know his sister was pregnant.
I think...
She played him.
I think that the reason why Tyrion was so surprised to hear that Cersei is pregnant was because he realized that Cersei was a villain to begin with. But Cersei,
she's
10 times stronger and 10 times more malicious when she's protecting a child. And so I thought that was Tyrion just kind of being, and he knows his sister. I thought that was him being like, you know what, this is it. I mean, she's going to be a monster in this next season.
Oh.
She is going to destroy everything in her way, no matter the cost. Like,
who
no matter the cost.
Her?
Jamie's gone.
Who will strangle her?
But that's
Loquin. What's that called? Balaquin?
Valonqar.
Valonqar. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's
man.
What I was shouting at my TV when Jamie rode away on a horse.
The Valonqar is the prophecy in the book.
Younger sibling.
The show.
Younger sibling.
Right. That the witch gives her that after the children, her right. children die and she's supplanted, a Valonqar will kill her. And the Valonqar is the
younger
the sibling.
Right. Also, one thing to back up just for a second. We have two different Cerseis here we all should be made of. In the book, Cersei is the incompetent that you referred to, John. She's not as smart as her father. But the one that what they've made her in the show, they made her this, you know, sort of Machiavellian, you know, sort of.
No, evil, thoroughly evil right. person, just not long-range thinker like her father.
Right. But they've made her. They've kind of, and this is some of the writing again, because they've made her the idea that she planned ahead with Euron Greyjoy, that
yes.
he would leave.
Okay, good.
She's much more of a planner now mm-hmm. in the show, like than they would have made anyone else. They've made her as the heir apparent smarter than her brother, obviously.
And that's why,
either of her brothers.
And that's why I think there's an interesting point because there's that scene where she admonishes, you know, her brother for being so stupid. But in the family, Tyrion was always the smarter one. He was always the smarter one. Always the smarter one. So if he's the smarter one, I don't think he would let this go. I think that's why I think they were kind of tipping their hand to say he didn't get it, but Tyrion got it because he's a smart one, he's a dumb one. They're playing their roles, and that's why I think Tyrion has come to a realization and is going to it knows what's happening and is essentially screwing over. And that would explain the longful gaze at the two people.
Is
he
possible that Tyrion can be the one that we would revile at the end?
Nah.
I cannot see that, Jeff Carter. I cannot see, but it's a good.
It's a twist.
It's a twist, and we will see some. We will see twists. And I still go back to the original premise before we close. What in God's name are we supposed to do now?
Think of that blue flame. That blue flame cracking against that ice, you know, and
for
coming
years?
Out of nowhere.
For 2 years, my friend?
It has to sustain you. It had the idea first out of nowhere, out of those dark clouds just erupting, and then the crash. Oh, I'll never forget that for a long time.
What, the wall coming down?
Absolutely.
I remember when that happened.
The Syrians, Viserion's appearance. I just said, what is this going to be? You and I were talking.
And then
John.
They walk out, or they cross the crumbling wall? In the shape of a direwolf? What is this about?
An inverted direwolf, right?
What is going on here, Marwa? What is the Bran Night King thing? Is Bran really Michael J. Madigan, Speaker of the House? What is going on?
No, I refuse to even acknowledge this. Mm-mm. No.
She won't.
This is my least favorite theory ever, and there are a lot of theories out there. There's a theory that Tyrion is a time-traveling fetus, and I like that theory better than Bran is a Night King.
There you go.
A time-traveling fetus.
We'll talk about it some other time. It's a long, extensive theory.
Well, it'll be a long time to come before the next Game of Thrones. I don't know what we'll do. I hope we're all alive. Okay? Because it would really suck if I die before I see the end of it. It's worse than... I already saw the White Sox hit, you know, win the World Series. Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs.
And the...
Good job.
Good job.
John was looking for something to throw at me for those of
real quick listening.
Yes.
Can we take a vote real quick? Do we think that Tormund and Beric survived?
Oh,
yes. Because this is something to chew on for the next few years.
Yes.
I think they survived.
I think so, too.
You can't kill them off so easily. No. That would be bad. Yeah. You don't waste their death.
There's only so many people we can kill off screen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have them. And there's no real, outside of them and Jon Snow, what men are there for men to emulate in this show?
I will be doing it for Halloween. I'm going to grow up my beard a little more.
That's going to be awesome.
Davos is my favorite guy. Davos is something about...
Oh, yeah. Nice. Davos, I like to
see worth. Yeah.
I dig that.
Yeah, Davos might be my top five characters.
Mine is still the dead man, doomed by his own sense of honor. A great man, Ned Stark. For Marwa Altaguri, William Lee of the Chicago Tribune, both. Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, the best quiche making and best producer in the city of Chicago, and John Cass. This has been our Game of Thrones podcast. Can you guys come back sometime just to talk about other stuff in the city? Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.